I'd like to turn your attention to the subject of freedom. What did you view Thursday to be? Was it a day of a cookout? Was it a celebration of the start of summer? The temperature certainly made that happen. Was it a day off work? Was it fireworks? I came across a statement that I thought was pretty incredible. It sort of focuses our lesson today. It's written by a lady by the name of Rebecca Jordan. She says, on the 4th of July, we celebrate freedom. But our freedom was earned. It was paid for by those who fought for our independence as a nation and for the right to worship God as we wanted. In addition, freedom is not necessarily permanent. Throughout history, men and women have sacrificed a lot to keep freedom alive. Wars and fighting continue because people crave freedom. Freedom from oppression. Freedom from injustice. The freedom that Jesus gives us was not free either. Paid for by his own blood and death by crucifixion. The spiritual freedom is universal and available to all. We can't earn it. We can only receive it by faith. One life, his, was enough to set us free. Unlike earthly independence, our spiritual liberty lasts forever. Did you think carefully about the words you were saying as we sang number 803 together? You know, that song is a lot more than just a song of patriotism. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. And later in that verse it says, let freedom ring. How important is freedom to you? Have you really thought about the freedom we have? Where it came from? Sweet land of liberty. The second stanza. My native country, the land of the noble free. We have, through our history, had men and women who cared enough about freedom to be willing to die for it. Those of us that served in the military, when we were enlisted, had to indicate a willingness to die for what we believe, for the importance of freedom. In the third stanza, let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song. You know, I can't help but think as I look at what I've been allowed to do the last 2 weeks. The fact that we could have our whole property provided as a service to the community without fear of being told what we could do and what we couldn't do without having someone push us off of our land and be able to include God in all of the things we offered to our friends, all 372 of them who came. What a wonderful display of freedom. And where does this come from? The fourth stanza.
Our Father's God, to Thee, author of liberty, to Thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by Thy might.
Great God, our King. I hope that to some extent, with all of the fun stuff that goes on the 4th of July, the fireworks, the cookouts, the activities, that you maybe this morning, if no other time, can reflect on how blessed we are. In Acts, the second chapter, beginning with verse 41, the first century church was a group of free believers. Now, there's two words for freedom in the scriptures, two Greek words. One is politia, from which our word politics comes. But you know that word is only used once in the entire New Testament? And that's used in Acts 22 and verse 28 when Paul is talking to a Roman guard who had bought his freedom. And the guy said, with a great price, I obtained my freedom. And Paul said, I was born free. You see, his freedom came because of his birth. And so too, our new birth gives us that freedom. God is the author of freedom. And I hope for a few minutes this morning you can think about what that means. You know, Satan is a cruel enslaver. In Galatians, the first chapter, in verse 6, Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, I marvel that you are so quickly willing to be enslaved again from the grace of the gospel of Christ to another gospel. You know, Satan will do anything to enslave us. He will offer us just about everything. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 11:14, we're told Satan will become an angel of light to enslave us. Not everything that claims to be good out there offers freedom. It may look good, but it enslaves. We have incredible freedom as Christians. And the message of Christ is that you can be free from that enslavement. In Galatians 5, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, Christ has made us completely free. Stand fast then, and do not again be hampered with the yoke of slavery. See, when you become a Christian, there's all kinds of other things that want to come at you. All kinds of other things that want to enslave you. That passage I read in Galatians 1 and verse 6 talks about the other gospel. It doesn't tell us what that gospel is. But the enslavement that is waiting right outside those doors is the enslavement of alcohol, the enslavement of drugs, the enslavement of commercial sex, and right across the street, the enslavement of gambling. The Jewish law had enslaved people. This is what caused so much problems for Christ, because they had a whole bunch of man-made rituals cut out, and they enslaved people who didn't follow those rules. As a matter of fact, that's what caused the death of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, beginning with verse 1, says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For through your union with Christ Jesus, the law of the life-giving Spirit, you have been made free from the power of sin and death.
As I've mentioned to you many times, we have a correspondence course program going with prisoners all over this country. We just hit our 4,000th student this last week. And one of the things that's been interesting to me in corresponding with these men and women is how much they talk about the enslavement that has put them in prison. And they're not talking about the fact that they're behind bars. They're talking about what put them behind bars. The enslavement of meth, of alcohol, of prostitution. All of the things that the world offers. Paul goes on in Galatians 5 and verse 13. He says, "For you, brethren, have been called to freedom. Do not make your freedom an excuse for gratification of the flesh." Why do we stand against these things? We get lots of criticism because we don't endorse our friends across the street with their casino. We get lots of criticism because we don't support the use of alcohol. We get lots of criticism because we oppose abortion. But you see, all of those things are a part of what enslaves men and women. And we have been given freedom from that. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, the writer says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So we intend to continue to stand against those things that enslave men and women. And it's important for our young people to understand the hazards that are involved in allowing the world to become a controller of what you enjoy and what you do. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 9, says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of the God who created its pattern." The old man. The things that are tearing our culture, our world apart. From the media to the things that are happening on the political level. You can become enslaved because this comes from every source around. It comes from denominations, religious people. We'll make rules, we'll make celebrations, we'll make titles to control what other people do. That's enslavement. And we are free of that. You can be a slave by politics. Boy, are we seeing that today, aren't we? As a matter of fact, the media has demonstrated that to you. We have media right now that cannot report the news. They can interpret the news, but they can't report the news. I don't think you can watch Fox News and not get the impression that there is, in fact, an enslavement to a particular political view. I don't think you can watch MSNBC and not get an opposing view that is equally enslaved. I'm totally apolitical. Please understand that. I'm not promoting any particular political persuasion. But what I'm saying to you is that Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's." You can be enslaved to politics and to the affairs of humans. The Lord's church was established under the most aggressive, abusive, totalitarian political system that ever existed, and it grew by leaps and bounds. You see, the freedom that we enjoy is freedom from all those things that the world uses to control other people. And let me say to this, that, you know, if somehow I could convince you of the importance of employing your freedom as a spiritual device, one of the things that is beautiful is that it doesn't matter where you are in life for that to happen. Bill Solomons and I are the two oldest cougars here, I think. I don't know, Peggy wouldn't admit it, but she might be up there close. But let me tell you something. You can become justified because of freedom
no matter where you are in life. One of the beauties of becoming free, and this is true especially for people who have lost their freedom, whether it be in prison or whether it be to some of the things I've just mentioned, you can be justified. You know, Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 9, talks about that we have all at one time or another been lost sinners. And it says, but you have been washed, you have been cleansed, you have been justified. When you look at your Bible, the page is justified. In my computer, I have a button I can push to justify what I am writing. And what it does is it takes all those odd sentences that I leave hanging up in the air and it brings them all nice in the same columns. So it really looks good. It may still contain junk, but it looks good. And that's true of my life. I can bring God my life, a life that is screwed up, a life that is full of bad things, a life that has been abusive, that has been sinful, that has been corrupt, and I have the freedom to give it to God, and God will justify it. He will bring it in line, no matter what it is, and no matter how bad it is, and no matter where we are in life. He will bring it in line with His will. And that brings me to my last point, because you have freedom today from the terror of death. You know, 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 6, I've quoted it quite a bit. Paul is talking about his life. He's at the end of his life. And he talks about the fact, he says, I have finished my course, I have fought the fight. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown which the Lord God will give me, and not only to me, but all those who are called according to His will. Now, His course is not your course. But surely, as you look at the newspaper and you pick up the news, you have to realize that your life can be terminated at any point. And almost everybody in this room is old enough to realize that people your age have given up their lives. And the question is, can you say what Paul said? Have you fought a good fight? Have you kept the course? That's a challenge. You say, well, no, I haven't been perfect. Welcome to the club. Read Romans 7 and look at Paul, who talks about the fact that he knows what he ought to do, but he never seems to do it. He knows what is right, but he keeps getting sucked into what is wrong. And he goes through and he talks about the struggle that he has, but then in the 8th chapter in the 1st verse he says, but there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to go to bed tonight unsure about your salvation. Not because you are good, not because you have done everything you should, but because you have freedom, the freedom that God gives you. And the life that you have and the blessings that you have that God has provided make that possible. You know, Paul says in Philippians, the 1st chapter, in verse 21, if I am to go on living in the body, it will be fruitful later for me. I am torn between the two, to live or to depart. He says, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it is more necessary for the Lord's work, for you, that I remain. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to leave? You've got the freedom to go to bed tonight free of any feelings of guilt or concern or insecurity. That's an incredible freedom.
Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul says later in that chapter that we just quoted a minute ago, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus.
There's nothing on the earth that can prevent you going to heaven. You have the freedom to choose to live and to be free of all of the bad things that we see in the world around us.
In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the writer says, let your way of life be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. You say, well, you know, I kind of like money. Are you enslaved by it? See, just like drugs and alcohol and all those other things, possessions can be a terrible, terrible affliction. Be content with what you have, for God Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear
what men shall do to me. Some of us have sat in a foxhole and realized there was a good chance we were about to die. When mortars are landing all around you, or in Richard's case, when you're up in the air and everybody on the ground has a gun, you have a chance to think about, is this it? I had kind of a unique situation because I became a Christian in the middle of my enlistment. When I enlisted, I was an atheist. I got scared to death so many times as an atheist in a combat situation. I became a Christian when the Korean War ended. And then I got dragged back into the service. That's a long story. Won't bore you with it. But I had another opportunity to think about dying because of a military situation. And I still remember to this day saying, okay, fine. Let me out of here. I don't like foxholes. The difference between being a Christian and facing the end of your life and being an atheist and facing the end of your life is absolutely incredible. You see, we have freedom from the terror of death. Psalm 53, which I quote so many times because it describes me, says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. Yeah, that's what enslaves you. When you throw God out, let me tell you something, Satan fills the space quickly. And I threw God out because I was raised that way, and Satan filled the space. And it enslaved me. And it made me miserable. And the military gave me a chance to see the incredible difference between approaching death as a Christian and approaching death without God. We have freedom from the terror of death. You know, you can celebrate freedom, all kinds of freedom, political freedom and spiritual freedom, on the 4th of July or any other time. I love America. I wouldn't have served 7 years in the Army if I didn't. I wouldn't have volunteered for situations where I could lose my life if I didn't. And you've heard Richard talk about his commitment. And there are others here who have perhaps not spoken publicly about it, but who have had the same convictions. Well, we celebrate that freedom both on the 4th of July for political reasons and every day for spiritual reasons because we are citizens. Do you ever wonder why we have an immigration problem? Why does anybody want to come to America? I used to tell my discipline problems, and I taught at Riley High School. They were giving me a really bad time, and they were cussing and raising cane about the system. I said, hey, I got a little deal for you. At that time, it was the Vietnamese. I said, I got a deal for you. I'm going to find a friend in Vietnam that would like to come to America, and I'll trade Vietnam, you for him. I'll take the Vietnamese. You go to Vietnam. How many of you think, how many of those kids do you think accepted that idea? I'll tell you one thing, it made them pretty quiet. See, people want to come to this country because they see the political benefits of being an American. God bless them. Have you ever thought about where you would be if you were sitting in that detention center in Mexico? Back home, they're killing your kids and they're beating you up and they're taking your property. Can you put yourself in that situation? I don't know the answer to all this. But my point is, you have to be a citizen to have the benefits of being an American. And I hope, connected with the 4th of July, that sometime in the past couple of days, if not maybe today, you can sit down and thank God for where you were born and for the fact that this country has held together so far in a way that gives you the freedom to be here this morning. In Acts 2 and verse 37, there were a group of people who realized their spiritual condition. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Have you ever gotten to that point? Have you spiritually ever gotten to the point of saying to yourself, "What can I do? I don't want to die as I am." Have you ever gotten there? And the response was, become a citizen of God's kingdom. Repent and be baptized into Christ, into His kingdom, for the remission of sins. Be a citizen of God's kingdom. Thank God for the freedoms we have, and that we have the choice of being completely free spiritually. If you want to become a citizen of God's kingdom, if you need to repent of what has driven you away from God, we invite you to come and express that as we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?